We'll have a howl at the honeymoon before the guests begin to decay. The werewolf god, the bride's bouquet. I said I must just say in my heart, you're a hard god, Mary. But does it like a hard god, Mary? But does it matter, a hard god, Mary, tonight? Said we're out of booze, gonna kill somebody. Something stirred away, the shadow is there, and this is what I
me up into a million pieces. My foot would walk 1,000 miles for you. You cut off my hand, my hand would look through the elevators forever for you. You cut off my knee would kneel to you. My brain would think about you. Cut off my knee would kneel around you. You cut off any of my bits, man. They just be waiting for you. Books about European philosophy for you. You cut me up into a million pieces, and every piece would say I love you. Yes, it's true. Yes, it's true. Yes, it's true.
You're tuned into Revolution Rock here on CJAM 99. 90.1 FM in the Windsor, Detroit area. We just heard a whole side of Deja Voodoo's album, Big Pile of Mud, there.
Yeah, I mean, we could go through track by track, but I don't even think that's necessary. It's a great record, and eventually this year will be reissued. Now, we don't know the full details of when that's going to be, but, you know, it's going to be a damn fine time to finally hear this music again, because it's been out of print for so long. That's Big Pile of Mud, and we heard side A from that record. And I don't know, maybe coming up on another episode, maybe we'll do side two.
Side B?
Yeah, side B.
Why not? Okay, we should also mention we have some guests here in the studio.
Yeah, we are no longer alone. No. We have new enemies with us inside the confines of CAW Student Center. You know what? Very cool to have these guys with us. We've seen a few concerts of theirs. They rock pretty hard, and they have a lot of history to talk about, and we're going to get through a lot of it. Just before we do, maybe just to give the audiences a little bit of a taste of the band, if they haven't had a chance to see any of their shows before, how about we get into...
A couple songs, maybe?
Yeah. So what we're going to do, we're going to play two songs, then we're going to do some introductions, talk to the group, and talk about the history of the Windsor Essex alternative punk scene, talk about what's going on right now, and talk about where you can see New Enemies coming up soon.
All right, let's get to it here. We're going to hear I Don't Know from the New Enemies on Revolution Rock. We'll be right back. Tune into Revolution Rock here on CJAM 99.1 FM in the Windsor, Detroit area. I'm your host, Dave, joined with Adam, and we have the New Enemies here in the studio with us right now. Maybe we can just go around and everyone can give a short introduction.
Tommy Shannon, lead guitar.
My name's Doug Green. I sing sometimes, and I shout sometimes, and I play guitar in a very basic level sometimes.
Rockin' Robbie, bass.
Don Droulard, also known as Donnie Dangerous, on the drums, laying down some beats.
All right. So we got the whole band here, and I should pull up the questions so we know what we're going to ask. But, Adam, you want to get started?
Yeah, I guess the first thing I just want to ask you guys is, how did New Enemies come about? The origin story. How did this band get together?
There's a fellow who sadly is no longer here with us who I think is at the center of it. His name's Dave Whitehead, and longtime excellent guitarist, musician, singer in Windsor. Was playing for 45 odd years, and during the lockdown in COVID, he and Robbie were doing some jamming and practicing and trying to get something together. And I don't know, Robbie, did you have a sense that something was maybe coming from that?
Oh yeah, for sure.
And then there was a little break, and Dave and I bumped into each other. I'd moved out of Windsor. I'd been out of Windsor for 35 years, hadn't been involved in music, and Dave and I talked, and he said the magic words, "Do you want to jam at my place?" And we started practicing in his living room and scaring the hell out of his cats, and it seemed to be going well. And he said, "Well, you know, I was practicing with this guy Robbie before, and it was really good." And so it sort of, the three of us were jamming at his place, and then Dave wanted to get another guitarist in the band. And he said, "Talk to Tommy Shannon from the Dry Heaves." And so I think it was like, you know, the COVID was going in waves, and in the winter of 2021, things were, there was kind of a lockdown again. I think you didn't want to get going again until things seemed a bit clear, and I remember that being somewhere around May, right?
Yeah, it was spring, yep. And I hadn't been in a rock band since the 80s. I did a bunch of Irish folk stuff with my brothers through the 90s and early 2000s, so when I got the call, I was kind of dancing around the house. I'm going to be in a rock band. I was really excited to hear from them, and glad to blow the dust off the old Fender twin amp.
That thing is still so bloody loud. The hardest part was finding a drummer. Initially, Dave Whitehead and I had been in a band called The Enemies back from 80 to 81, and our drummer, Dave Shane, from there was totally interested in doing it, but Dave lived in London. He's working full-time. There's no way it could make it work, so we spent a long time being bummed out and not being able to find a drummer. And Robbie found Don on Facebook with a picture of him really young with a drum kit.
Yeah, I was texting Tommy, for some reason, and then Rob seeing my profile of me on my drums. I was using it for a profile, and he texted me right away, "You play the drums still?" And I went, "Yeah, I do." And I didn't even know who he was. He's going, "You know Tommy." He says, I'm a friend of Tommy's. We're trying to get a band together, and we're really desperate for a drummer." So I said, "Well, let me come over and check out what you're doing and see how it goes, you know?" So I remember going over there the first day, and Dave Whitehead was there, and these three guys, and I sat down on a stool, and they played every song that they knew. And I sat there tapping my hands on my laps, you know, like, doo, 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 doo. I say to myself, "Yeah, you could do this, you could do this." So they gave me a list of songs, said they're all on YouTube. So I went home, studied them all, and jot down notes on every song and that, because I never played any of these songs ever before. Most of them I never heard of, except for a few Rolling Stone ones and David Bowie one. And, I said, "Yeah, I like this, man, I like this." So I got my kid over to their house a few weeks later, and we started playing the songs, and they were pretty happy with what I was coming up with, because I really studied hard to try and get into the band, because this is just what I wanted to do too. I mean, I'm 65 now, so it's a little late in life, but man, this is what I wanted. So I was really happy that he called me, Rob here, and got a hold of me, because I would have never known me. So
it was
a great thing.
We're going to talk a little bit about some of the history of bands you've been in, but I know, Don, this is kind of interesting for you, because it's been a kind of a crash course, like punk 101 for you.
Yeah, it was. It really was.
What was it like getting into this whole other musical world that you didn't really know too much about before?
It was exercise. I never played so fast and learned such different beats, because most of my beats were from jamming. We used to make up our own stuff. I jammed with Adam's dad here a lot for many years. And all our stuff was off the cuff. We'd get together, he'd put down a groove, and I'd start playing a beat, and then words would jut out, and so it was mostly jamming stuff, So. Mm-hmm. I had that to go back on, for the beats and that. But when I started learning again, it was like going to school, man. Like, you had to study, and you had to break things apart. And Robbie here, it's all about counting. He's telling me, counting how many beats, counting how many, to the breaks and all that, So these guys helped me out a lot. I really appreciate them a lot, because I'm here today, doing what I wanted to do, So
for him to go from having zero exposure to like high energy rock and roll or punk rock to within like a couple weeks, he's like pretty much up to speed.
Yeah, he went zero to 100 really fast.
Well, we told him once
we saw how he attacked everything.
A few times they had to keep telling me, you're going too fast.
Slow down.
They keep the tempo thing.
The tempo thing was the hardest thing, because with Dave Whitehead, if you were just like a tad slow, he'd tell you you're a tad slow. If you're a tad, and I'm going, I don't know what a tad is, how did you figure this one out, So he really did, though, get me to keep my meter a lot better for this kind of music, because it is a fast music, so you can find yourself sometimes speeding up in the middle of the song.
Yeah.
And these guys are going, well, geez, slow down, So that was the hardest thing, was training myself to keep a meter and learn the songs.
And then, as you mentioned with Dave, with his passing, like, that must have shaken up the group quite a bit.
It was devastating, man.
Definitely. Yeah.
How did you guys, because obviously there was probably a point where you had to decide, are we going to continue this after Dave? How did you come to that idea that you're going to keep going on?
Dave's, you're absolutely right, Adam. I mean, Dave's getting sick and dying, just, it totally took us by surprise, and it's emotionally devastating. Mm-hmm. In November of 2021, he started not feeling well. But he was still coming to practice, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I should have figured something out, because by the end of the month, he's gone. Like, I gotta go to my doctor, and I'm feeling crappy. And he was actually asking me to go to his house and pick him up and carry his guitar out to the car. And it's like, I just thought, man, he must really not be feeling well. And his doctor sent him to Emerge. Emerge said, we think you've got a touch of pneumonia. They put him on antibiotics for 2 weeks. And by December 13th or 14th, he still wasn't feeling well, and went back to his doctor. His doctor said, you've got to go back to Emerge. Something's not going right here. And Emerge did further testing. They found he was they found spots on his lungs. They admitted him. I think that was on the 14th, and by 17th they found out that, well, essentially this was liver cancer that had spread. Mm-hmm. And they said that this is not something that has a good prognosis, and so Dave was in hospital. There had been a downturn in the state of things with COVID, and they were limiting how many people could see him in hospital. Because I had gone first, I was one of like four people allowed to see him. Mm-hmm. The other guys in the band were doing like FaceTime with him, mm-hmm. and that, and like everyone was trying to be positive and cheer him up and thinking, mm-hmm. initially, like, okay, when he gets out, we're going to do this, we're going to do some gigs while he has time. But you know, by the end of December, there was nobody except his wife was allowed to see him, and Nicole told me later that like he sort of was no longer able to talk by December 30th, and January 7th he died, and it is like it just happened so fast. Yeah, and it just, I mean, look, it's bad for us, but I mean, his family, his wife, the people who love them, it's certain, you know, you got to acknowledge it was a much harder thing for them. But we got the news in the morning of the 7th, and we were all just blown away, and we agreed. We just decided, sort of spur of the moment, we got together at Tommy's house that night and just, you know, sort of had a couple drinks and toasts to Dave. And, mm-hmm. and you know, at some point in the discussion, it was like, and it was just like sharing our feelings together, you know? Mm-hmm. And at some point in the discussion, it's like, what are we going to do with the band, man? Mm-hmm. And it occurred to us that David said, like, we got a good band, keep practicing, keep going. And it was kind of like, well, this is what he wants, so. Mm-hmm. And it was that night that we made the decision to go on. But, man, it was hard. And, I mean, we didn't go practicing right away or anything.
We were doing it for him, man. We were keeping together for him because we thought that's what he would have wanted it.
That's good. So in a way, New Enemies is kind of like a living tribute to Dave.
Darn it, we are. Yeah, we thank him every time we play. Every time we still do memorials and stuff like that. So,
like in a, like I don't want to speak for other people, but for me, I mean, I'm not a spiritual person, but it feels like there's still part of him in the band, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, for sure. Thank you for being so open about that with us. Me and Dave, we have to get to a quick break because we're going to have to play an ID to remind people what station they're tuning
right
into.
Right.
After that, I'd love to come back and maybe ask some questions about some of the bands that you guys have been in past and recount some history. Okay, and Dave, maybe we'll play...
Yeah, throw a song in there maybe.
Yeah, you know, there's actually... We're going to talk about some of the bands that you've been in before. We did play a number that was originally done by Dry Heaves. We're going to talk about them, but how about a track from... Well, this is pretty cool. Originally by Seatbelts. I like this one. Donnie, you actually do the vocals for this one, Girl Off the Street.
Yes. When Rob played this song for me, I said, geez, I love this song. I've got to sing this song. Hey, so I was happy that he let me do it.
All right, so we're going to play that, and then we're going to come back to talk more with New Enemies here on Revolution Rock.